You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Good podcast questions.
Okay.
I'm recording.
Okay, here we go. We're on with the intro. All right.
Hello, this is Rivers Cuomo, and you're listening to Jonah Radio.
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Neil, girl, out here just a little bit sweet, but
Get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hang them out with your friends.
Valediction.
I don't understand. It's just fun.
In defense of Coldplay.
It's good. Good party.
What do we know about partying or anything else?
Oh, hooray. The day is here for Ray Dio. My name is Jonah. I have this podcast. Also here is Cash Hartzell, who has this podcast.
Hi, Cash Hartzell. No, wait, no. Hi, everybody else.
See, Cash gets really confused when he sees himself in his computer screen and he can't help but just say hello. Yeah. And it's good because you want to be friendly to yourself. Start with yourself, then you can be friendly with others. Someone who's not mastered that in his entire life, Neil Mahoney, is also here.
Hi, everybody.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on. You had a little Trump throat there, a little scratchy.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. And our guest for today, I'm very excited about this. I'm a huge fan of her work, the musician, solo artist, Laura Stevenson. Everybody, Laura Stevenson is here.
Yay. Yay.
Listen to that studio audience.
Gorgeous.
Wow. Yeah.
I hope they're all wearing masks.
You can tell they're not wearing gloves. Different sound. With the
different
class.
Sound, but, yeah. Wedded
fun. Laura, thanks for joining us. You're out in New York,
yes,
and which is the hot zone for the lockdown.
Yeah, it's a hot zone. Even though now I don't know, we're looking at all the other states that aren't allowed to come here, so I think we're like trying to pretend that other states are hotter than us, but I think we might still be the hottest. I don't know.
Yeah, well, oh, are people still, the, people still using the Underground Railroad, subway. I could not remember the name Subway.
We have been in our houses too long.
You didn't want to call it the tube and be pretentious.
Yeah, exactly. People still using the tube, the trolley.
The metro.
Yeah. The underground.
No, we're upstate New York, so I don't know anything about what's going on down there. We're like 2 hours north of the city, thankfully.
Oh, okay. Oh,
thankfully.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And now everybody's moving up by us, so they're going to bring all the shit here. So
that's what I've heard.
So everyone's moving out of the cities. Well, how long have you been in the burbs? Would you consider it the burbs?
I guess so. It's kind of like rural-ish. But yeah, I moved up here after I recorded up here. I was still living in Brooklyn for a couple years after that, but I was just like really fell in love with the area, like near New Paltz, New York, which is like, it's off the thruway. I don't know. If you don't know New York, it doesn't really matter. But it's just like north of the city, straight shot, pretty much on the Hudson River.
If Lifetime never talked about it being off a turnpike or Promise Ring or Get Up Kids, I don't know much about that area other than what those bands talked about in the 90s.
Yeah, well, it's weird because it's a little rural. So I'm not used to like kind of like it's a little Trumpy up here.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
anywhere with any space tends to swing that way a little bit.
Yeah. With like guns, I guess. But yeah, so it's like, it's a little different than what I'm used to. I'm from Long Island originally. So that's like, you know, even though it's a little Trumpy out there too. I don't know. It's Trumpy everywhere. It's a nightmare.
Yeah,
should we
sure
not talk
is.
About that?
I don't like talking about it, mainly because I'm super Trumpy and it's just weird.
Yeah, it gets all uncomfortable right. When he brings it up.
No,
let's go to the. Let's just get it over with and go to the commercial for the fundraiser, and then we can start when we come back.
Your values are under attack. Are you going to let socialists run your country? Socialists like Joe Biden, the most socialist senator.
Once you get out of there, but that seems to be, if you're playing music and you're making music and you're established and you're going to be like in a normal situation, you're going on tour. Why not just live somewhere where it's like a little more space, a little cheaper, just because, you know, tour can be so maddening, and then to go right back into the shit of a city.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was just paying for a neighborhood that I didn't hang out in. Like when I was living, the last neighborhood I lived in was Bushwick, and I would just like hole up in this like room that was essentially made out of like, you know, like it was just a created room in a loft apartment with a bunch of other like little shitty rooms. And so it didn't have a window, and it was just like fucking hot in the summer, but I would just like sit in there and just be like, I want to just relax. And I was like, what am I paying for this for? So then we moved up and we paid like $200 each to all live in. I moved up with my band, which was an interesting experiment.
Wow, that is very interesting. At least you don't have to worry about making friends.
Exactly. or losing friends. Maybe that would be what you have to worry about.
Yeah, I guess so. What's that? That's got to be, I mean, being on tour with the band is much different than living with the band, because, you know, on tour, at least if you start to get a little bugged by somebody, you go, you know, 7 more weeks, 6 more weeks, just a couple more weeks. And now it's just, now you're just like, what, you know, is there still disagreements within the band? And then you have to share the kitchen
Not only were you behind on that song, but you forgot to take the garbage out, and
there's bacon grease all over the fucking stove.
I can't wait for your next album, The Chore Wheel.
Yeah, seriously. But it ended up, I mean, they're wonderful people, so it was like, it was a lot easier than it could have been, you know, but it was still like, you know, you want a breather from each other, and all of a sudden you're on top of each other. You're in a van, and then you're in a house, you know. But like, it ended up being pretty good. But then we were like all kind of scattered, and we did our own thing. But we're all still up here, which is really nice.
Yeah. Nice.
So you founded a neighborhood, is what you did. Is like you just
Exactly.
Rather than being moving in and like, I wish there were more cool people that lived here, you brought all the cool people with you, and now you're just colonizing.
It's real Stevenson town up there.
Yeah. It really is Stevensonville.
And well, that's also kind of. Do you have a recording set up there as well? Was that kind of part of the idea?
Yeah, we did. Like the attic was like, we made a lot of demos and stuff up there, and we would
practice. Still get work done during this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I have a recording, kind of like a shitty recording set up in my garage, because there's like a studio in the back of my garage. And so like we did a lot of stuff for the last record in there. And I don't know, it's just, it's been really nice to not pay for shitty practice space. Like we would pay for Sweatshop in Brooklyn, which is like, so shitty, and just like there's no noise separation, so you would just like, you'd be paying for all your like album rehearsals, you know, where you're like really need to be working so hard, and you can just hear like shitty metal bands and like shitty kind of like No Doubt tribute bands and like all the other rooms. So it's like it was really stressful, and when you're paying for it, you just like, you have to focus, and you can't take any breaks, and that was just like a shitty environment. So when we lived in our own space, we could just like do whatever we wanted with our own time. It was really freeing and nice.
Yeah, it's got to be and it's also, you are kind of free to fail, because I have a little, you know, jam space, you know, jam pad lockout space, and that thing where you can hear all the different types of bands, but also you realize they can hear you. And I know our space is right next to where the bathroom is, where you can really hear like when people are using the bathroom.
Oh, no.
And so when you want to just kind of have fun or be goofy or just try something out, you realize everyone can hear this. Like when we just randomly broke into like a funk version of whatever, you know, song we were playing, and it felt silly and dumb, but the fact that people could, like, you, then you hear the bathroom door close, and you know, they're judging us right now as they take
They don't know we're kidding.
Yeah, they don't know we're kidding. And so I'll do stuff. I'll be on the drums going like, that was really funny.
You should just get one of those lights made that you can just hit the switch, and then the bathroom says, just kidding.
Just kidding. I want to play a song from yours. I'm kind of torn, because like there's like the idea of like, because there's the promotional idea of like playing like, you know, the song that you just released with somebody the other day. There's stuff from the album that came out last year. But then there's also the first song I heard of yours is also kind of something I would like to play. It's like, do you have any preferences or?
Any song that I listen to of my own, I'm going to be cringing. So it's you could turn totally
your
call.
You can turn your camera off like while we listen to it. That's a, or we can turn ours off. Face. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Is this going to be, are people going to be able to see this video? Because I have a vacuum cleaner in clear view right here.
No. It's just the audio. Shark.
Yeah. Ooh, the shark is nice. That's a good one.
And your stacking washing machine is pretty nice too.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow. Is that Samsung? Samsung?
It is an LG. Life's good.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, LG. Yeah.
Plays a little song when it's done.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they all do now.
And like as since we're like talking visuals in this audio medium, you also have a framed Shining poster right behind you.
Oh yeah, it's German. Which
is it's a German one.
That's cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Der Shining.
Yeah, which is going to be like for being in a rural area where it's going to eventually start snowing. That's a real great poster to have. Keep in mind.
Yeah, March when it hasn't broken yet. Yeah, you're staring at the Shining poster.
You're right. I should probably take it down. Don't want to give anybody.
We'll send you some sort of Dutch Sound of Music thing for that time.
So we're going to take a break real quick and listen to a song off of Sit Resist, the song Barnacles, which is that okay? Do you have anything you want to say about this song?
What do I want to say about it? Hey, we just released the Sit Resist deluxe reissue, and this song's on it, and it's about whatever, I don't know, love.
I see you've brought a clip for us. Do you want to sandbag it before all right, we're gonna listen to Barnacles off of Sit Resist by Laura Sanderson and more Alora when we come back to this shoe.
Oh, Dumba. This is Bart Simpson, dude, and you're listening to Jonah Radio.
Okay, I realize I had to cut that ring out of your song a little short because I forgot to redo the setting on my Spotify where it started crossfading into Kenosha by swearing. Which is, good job, Spotify. That's a nice little transition. But nice.
You guys at home will not know this, but we got to see a lot of wrestling paraphernalia in almost like a parade that Laura put on for us.
Oh no, I wasn't looking. What was I doing? Oh, making sure the show was going on.
This was great. You should have paid attention.
I was kind of disconcerted by your lack of interest in the paraphernalia that was being shown.
Oh no.
And an Undertaker figure that I thought was Danzig. Yeah.
That's Bret Hart.
Oh.
Rest in peace. Rest is he?
Bret Hart? No, Owen Hart.
Owen Hart.
He was the one.
Okay, no, you're right. Bret had to deal with the Montreal screw job, right? That's the yes. big fan of what's that wrestling show on Vice called?
I didn't know there was one.
Under the Mat. No. And Chris Gethard does the after show for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. My husband watches it all the time. What is it fucking called? I don't remember.
The reenactment stuff that they shoot is incredible. Yeah. and the interviews are great, but one of my favorite ones was it was Jake the Snake doing just a spot on impression of Macho Man Randy Savage, where it's Macho Man was really concerned about the snake, and he's like, I don't want that snake biting me, just kind of, and he's like, it's fine, nothing, it's there's no venom in it, it's just, he's just going to grab on, it'll, just kind of pinch, and he's like, then it has to be done to you, and I want to see no antidote,
Laura, when you are born on Long Island, you're just given wrestling, right? It's just handed to you, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm a fan of this now.
Well, it was handed to me late in life. And my husband's also from Long Island, so it was handed to him directly. But I, he brought me into the fold. I had to learn to love it because it was so much a part of my life that if I didn't, then we would have a real problem. So I had to embrace it. But now I love it. It's really. And he makes him happy.
That's great. Those are some vintage toys too. That was the stuff I remember from the 80s. That was great.
Yeah, his parents just are selling their house on Long Island, and they just gave us all these bins of all this shit, and he's been going through it and finding actually cool stuff, so it's nice. It's not just garbage.
So you're born and raised on Long Island, but you also you come from a musical family, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that something you're tired of talking about?
No. My grandfather and grandmother were both musicians. They were in show business musicians. My grandfather was an arranger and composer. He's famous for The Little Drummer Boy and Do You Hear What I Hear? Or his two famous things. If you hear those songs, the original, the original versions, that's his chorale that sang them. So he was famous for that. And then my grandma sang with Benny Goodman. And so they met at CBS and fell in love.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool. And then, but your parents, did they not get into music?
My dad plays guitar, so he gave me a guitar. My mom plays piano, and so
and
she
didn't
gave me
give
piano.
You a piano? I guess we know who you like more.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, she plays really well, and neither of them are very serious about it, and neither of them were songwriters, but yeah, they kind of my mom pushed me into piano. My dad just gave me a guitar and was like, do whatever you want. And then I ended up really liking to play the guitar. So.
That's a good note for parents.
Yeah.
Did I see something online that your dad played bass on one of your albums? Is that true?
I wish.
Oh, no, yeah.
Is your dad Flea?
Yes. That's where I got
not very musical. Yeah, yeah. He just definitely not big on music education.
Laura, during this time of the show, we usually start to talk about what's going on with current events, but not the current events of politics, the current events of news, in a segment that Cash says,
Music News!
That's right, it's time for Music News, where we look at the internet and talk about it. What else do you do with your friends?
Yeah.
What is not a relationship if not just seeing something on your phone and then showing it to the person on the other side of the bed?
We have like four threads that we just do that to each other.
Very true. So a lot of bands are struggling to figure out how to do live performing. A lot of people are doing the streaming, or there's also the drive-in concerts that people are trying. You know, England even tried that social distant like arena that they actually like, and then they changed the rules of like spacing, and it ruined the entire thing that they built. But due to Wayne Coyne's idea of being in a ball his shows. And then someone made a joke about it online where it's like now the whole audience has to be in those balls. And then they did a version of that on The Late Show, and it went so well that they actually did a full concert where the entire audience were in the balls.
Wow.
Was it like, because I think I've seen that in like, you know, like in between periods at hockey games where they put people in balls and then they just run at each other. And like, it's like,
yes,
those like sumo suits that were whatever, you know, mm-hmm. where people wear.
Multi-ball is what it should be called. It's just like, I saw a little picture of it.
Oh my God. So it's insane looking.
Yeah. So here it is.
The crowd surfing is awesome.
Yeah. Let's see if this plays.
That's fantastic.
That looks crazy. That looks like a bunch of like tadpoles ready to be
born. Yeah, it's like an alien hatch farm. Like,
and so we're looking at if this is a Wayne Coyne is like on top of all the bubbles. People are dancing in their bubbles.
Oh my God.
It is. It does. It looks like literally like the whole lower floor is packed so tightly together that he can only be on top of them. It's kind of amazing.
Wow.
Is this something you'd want to do, Laura?
I don't know. This looks like kind of a nightmare to me personally. I feel like I've had nightmares like this. Like I would end up upside down probably in my body and write myself.
It looks like it would be the horrific image that Neo in the Matrix would find, where it's like, this is what the robots have been doing to us. And it's all these people just like trying to get out of these bubbles, gyrating while having to listen to, you know, Later Day Flaming Lips.
This is the second time I've seen something with those bubbles in the news. The other one was, so the Lakers won the NBA championship this year, and a bunch of people came out in front of the Staples Center. And of course, like what happens every time anybody in LA wins, it turned into kind of a riot. But there was one dude who was in one of those bubbles there, and I was like, this needs to be for all riots going forward, is just everybody in bubbles, like the cop try and hit you and he just like sends you skittering down a street or so. But he was so smart, like no mask or anything, just like this bubble hanging out screaming about the Lakers.
The way to do it. Have you done any of those live streaming things, Laura?
I've done like Instagram lives with people, like in guesting on people's Instagram lives, and I've done like things where I have a video, like I recorded ahead of time, but I've not done anything purely live. And
yeah, and you could too, because you seem to have a setup and a house and your entire band with you.
Oh yeah,
so, yeah. You can grab that vacuum. Give us a vacuum solo.
Play that thing.
Yeah, you can just fish.
Be the new jackal.
Yeah, that's because Jeff Rosenstock's been doing those live stream things.
Yeah.
By the way, he just happened to text me right before we were getting started, and I said we're about to record with Laura, and he said this: "Oh shit, tell Laura I said, Waza," which I think is got to be an inside joke because
just this little thing we have.
Did you you played with you were in Bomb the Music Industry?
Yeah.
And that was just when you were a young punk growing up in Long Island. Mm-hmm. And and how did you how'd you find, like, when was the first time you went to what was your first punk show, or what was it, you know, like how'd you find the scene?
My first,
was it in Long Island, or did you have to go to the Manhattan?
Oh, it was on Long Island. me and my friend Katie went to the Long Island Winter Ska Fest, which was just kind of like, it was awesome because like then in my life, I would always buy comps because I wanted to be exposed to like as many things as possible. And like, yes. You know, so like, so it was like a comp of a show. It was just like every band from Long Island and like kind of the tri-state area that was like a ska band or kind of related to ska in some way. And so I just got exposed to like a bajillion bands, and because there were like multiple stages. So it was like, it was really like the funnest day of my life. It was probably 14 or 15. And yeah, like Katie had heard about the show. And so we kind of like, we didn't really know anybody that was going to go. And then when we got there, there were kids from our school and we were like, oh, these are the ones that we should hang out with. And then that was kind of like, that was it. So it was, that started like an every weekend for the rest of high school, this routine of going to shows, Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows.
Yeah. And what were some of the, any like really big bands that people know of that played this festival?
Edna's Goldfish, I think, was the most famous one. And they, yeah. I don't think are, but they had like, they had a video on MTV.
Oh. nice. Neil, you okay?
Yeah, sorry. Just clearing my throat.
Oh, okay. That Trump throat. You got to be careful with that, man. It's going around.
Is that what COVID's called now?
I'm calling it Trump throat. Hey, go in there, kiss all. Like, just a maniac on drugs now. It's great. Recently, we all know about the Grey Album, which was the Beatles' White Album and Jay-Z's Black Album, put together by DJ Danger Mouse. Well, years later, now another DJ, Spouse, is trying his hand at that kind of idea of the mashup album with Jay-Z and Smashing Pumpkins.
Ooh.
He's calling it Mercy Projects and the Infinite Sadness.
Oh.
And it's not
How do you get an instrumental version of the Smashing Pumpkins album?
Well, I think he just kind of looped more of the instrumental stuff. Okay. Here's a little clip of one of them. Let's see if we... Oh, I got to share. Sorry, I need to go back to sharing this stuff here. I don't know why. Like, that's like the new thing. It's everyone turns into an old person where they're just... Because they don't want dead air. They go, all right, so we're doing this thing. We're going over here. Click on that. All right, here we go. Let's see if it... Loading.
It's just a public service announcement sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho. Oh. H to the OV. I used to move snowflakes by the OC. I guess even back then you could call me CEO of the ROC. Ho! Fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, ho! Oh! Not DOC, but similar.
Not so bad. Like most mashups, it's like, it's you're like, okay, it kind of matches. And then all of a sudden there's like, a moment where like it works and it's just right. There you go. There's the big part of it.
God bless 4/4 time.
When I did that one where I did a Nas and the Minutemen mashup, where I was like, ooh, this is nice. I could do this with a lot of different Minutemen songs, and I couldn't figure it out ever again. I was like, I'm not good at this. I wanted to so badly do a whole album of Minutemen and Nas songs.
Did not really known for playing to a click track, Minutemen.
Nope. No, but they're pretty like regimented and tight. And it's like if you get like, you know, one bar with that stuff, because the bass is so funky and the guitar is
right
and the jangly.
Yeah.
But not so bad. But Spouse put that whole thing up on his Vimeo. So go and check that out. I scanned through some of the other songs and it was. He did stuff from like Adore or Ava Adore and some of that later stuff that I didn't really. And then I also realized I don't think I ever once put in the second CD of Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Definitely.
Oh.
Because the first CD had 1979, the only song I wanted to listen to.
Right. Yeah.
Off that album. I don't know. Maybe Tonight. Was that on the second disc?
No, that was the first disc, wasn't it?
Is it the first disc?
I don't. The only thing I know about that album is I dated two different women who used the expanded thing as their purse. like the thing where like the expanded edition.
Oh, the expanded box. That's right.
Yeah. Boy, I had a type.
Melancholy and the infinite sadness.
What's my friend Sarah sometimes would describe girls as she's a real lunch pail as a purse kind of girl.
I like calling it a lunch pail too. Like
yeah, exactly.
Like you're sitting on an I-beam 30 stories up.
I don't know if you all know this, but guitarist for the band Testament, Alex Skolnick, is also now a rapper, and he's very anti-masker. He just put out a pandemic anthem called "Wear a Fucking Mask."
Ooh.
He also did one really earlier called "Trump Sucks."
creative.
But yeah, he's getting down to the knit and grit.
But it's
he's a real lunch pail kind of guy.
Yes. But let's take a little listen to he's in this in the image of it. He's wearing a body count hat. So, you know.
Ooh, that is.
You know what? I'm realizing once the video started, I want you guys to see the video too. All
right.
Because it was a shock to me when it came on. And so I'm going to back this up here. Hold on. Nope. Just get a clicky clack.
Okay. I just realized I was thinking of Nazareth instead of Testament. So this guy's going to be significantly younger than what I thought.
Yeah. Well, still Testament's been around a long time.
Yeah.
So here we go. Let's hold on. I want to make sure I'm also sharing the,
WAFM. Wear a fucking mask.
Wear a fucking mask.
Oh,
that's cool.
I thought it was like, a radio station.
Yeah, me too. It was a radio station.
Oh, a radio station exclusive. That's cool.
All right, here we go.
Oh, no. Scoldy D.
Yeah. Look at this.
So my first rap song got quite...
Oh, no.
Everybody, everybody, listen up. This is my mission of info, no misinformation. A new emancipation proclamation. A declaration for our broken nation. A commission for truth and reconciliation. Ooh, looks like I got you in the chin. Chinny, what you didn't really think I even had this in me. What do you know? I found my flow, kinda like that. I guess I'm now a rapper, and I know I gotta get to the crux as I follow up a song that I call Trump Sucks. Things have gotten so toxic and acidic. But first, let's hear a word from my critics.
Okay, boomer.
That's enough, Alex. I am a younger generation X, and so what? That's too old to put rhymes on the page. What if I was more like Dr. Fauci's age? Well, it might affect the way I talk and my rapping.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
You know what, though? The joy he's having, the fun he's having,
yes,
is infectious to where I don't want to make fun of it.
Yeah. And it does remind me. And maybe it's just his name is Skolnick, but it reminds me of the rap at the end of Revenge of the Nerds.
Clap like, your hands, everybody. Everybody, clap your hands. Well, I think we need to take a break real quick for a song and an ad. I do want to play another track of Laura's Living Room New York off the Big Freeze, if that's cool.
Sure.
You want to set this one up?
All right, picture this.
New York City.
Yeah. Do it in your Fauci voice. Do it in Scully D's Fauci voice.
Well,
Please keep
this going. Song's about a gal who was traveling, and she was in a living room in New York, and that's it. I'm starting to hurt my throat.
Yes, yeah. You're gonna get that Trumpy throat.
Too much vocal fry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I wrote this song, and it was about traveling and not being with the person that I love, and I don't know. It's a song. That
great.
I
sounds good. All right, this is Living Room New York off the Big Freeze. Laura Stevenson, more Laura and show when we get back after this song and this ad.
I want to feel you restless. I want to wake up from it. I want to see you stare at ceilings until you fall back to sleep. I want to feel you restless. wanna wake up from it. I wanna see you stare at ceilings until you fall back to sleep in the waiting room. In the waiting room. In the waiting room. It's a little stuffy in here. I wanna wring my hands and open elevators. A shaky finger, I am pushing the door open button. Feel the urge to press against my neighbors while I keep you in my mind. I keep you in my mind all of the time here. In the waiting room. In the waiting room. In the waiting room. What is moving? What is sinning? In the waiting room. In the waiting room.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey everybody, it's Cash coming at you to talk about Keeps. Well, 2 out of 3 guys will experience hair loss, some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. Well, now you can get treated from home. You used to have to go to a doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps and COVID, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but probably never for this price. Prevention is the key, though. Keeps treatments can take up to 4 to 6 months or more to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/radio to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/radio. That's KEEPS.com/RAYD. I owe.
Hello there, this is Morrissey, and you're listening to Jonah Radio, though I don't think it matters.
I was muted. All right, thank you so much. Cash, sometimes you mute me and unmute me. Sometimes it's up to me. So I guess we'll communicate better, I think, in the future. And as I was getting the next news segment ready, I just want to be clarify, in no way was Wayfarer part of that song that Laura was singing, nor is it an advertiser for us. Sorry about that.
You just said that, ad. You didn't say one of our ads.
That's true.
The guy that started Wayfarer is building a compound in my, in like my village, not even my town. Like it was like less than like six, what would be considered blocks from where I grew up. Yeah.
Are you in California?
No, I grew up in Massachusetts on Cape Cod.
Nice.
He's got like the most enormous tract of land that I could imagine. And he's building like seven houses on it.
Do you get a discount? No,
no, but I got my rocking chairs from there.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
You'll have something to talk about when they stop you for coming onto the property.
I'm gonna blame NME for their site that just starts to play ads while you're looking at their site. So new.
I was music. Into it. I was like, if I can, maybe I should squeeze in some more like company names.
Yeah, just get some plugs.
Yeah.
Get that revenue stream.
I was just trying to, because I was so inspired by the mashup that we heard with the, you know, I was just trying some new things.
Postmodern mashups are just different lyrics to advertising.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Oh, there you go.
So
everyone's got to make money.
As we all know, recently guitar god Eddie Van Halen passed away, and in true David Crosby fashion, he put his foot in his mouth where someone tweeted at David Crosby saying, I know you're not into metal, David, but that's another thing I noticed, like when people like tweet at him, it's like they're always very polite. It's like, hi David, I was just wondering. Yeah. Like you're already adding him, you don't need to. Yeah. I know you're not into metal, David, but what's your opinion on Eddie Van Halen? And then David Crosby just responds with meh, ... And so Tracy Guns responds with wrong answer as fuck and rude as fuck. There are better ways to say you don't care for someone's music. That was very disrespectful. And yes, straight out fuck you and your smug answer. And then Dee Snider comes in with this going,
boy.
Agreed. That said, I've always hated David Crosby and his mustache. And then someone says, wow, that was rude, unkind, and totally lacking empathy. He's like, sorry, just meant he does not move me much. Hendrix changed the world of guitar. Nobody else really. Look, I get it. Many of you love Van Halen. And the one time I met him, he was nice and he was talented. Meh to me means I don't care that much. And I don't. Doesn't mean he wasn't good. He was, but not for me. And then later on he tweeted, I'm sorry, I didn't know he recently died.
I've been in a redwood hot tub for the last 7 days.
Yeah.
Hey, don't knock redwood hot tubs. It's
know.
Yeah.
It's a family business.
It's a family business. My dad made redwood hot tubs for a while.
Oh.
Sold one to Neil Young. Was where he wrote Harvest Moon was from that hot tub.
He wrote it in a hot tub?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
It does sound like it kind of, right?
He must have had like a alto sax to keep it above the water. I'm just going to like riff it out here and then I'll record it on guitar in the barn.
Wah, 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 wah.
What's that? It's time for Today in Music.
Yay!
I'm here to help you with your history report.
You guys are going to go back in time.
Yes, right! Oh, today, October 16th, when this is coming out. Yeah, thanks to Todd Donaldson for that. Great. I did an episode of the Todd Donaldson Show, his little podcast, and it was a real nice conversation.
Hey, don't call anybody else's podcast a little podcast while on this podcast.
Did I say a little podcast?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, wow. That's really condescending of me.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks for that little comment, Cash.
Yeah.
October 16th, the day this episode comes out, 1961, Decca Records released Patsy Cline's Crazy.
That's only from 61, I guess.
Yeah. That's Willie Nelson's Crazy as sung by Patsy Cline.
Yes, Nelson originally wrote the song, but that's why I said Patsy Cline's Crazy.
Right.
Yes.
You think she's crazy?
No. Sorry. Third base.
I recently heard the story about how that song got pitched to Patsy Cline. It's her husband was at a honky tonk or whatever, and Willie Nelson played it, and he was like kind of drunk, and he just grabbed Willie Nelson. He's like, "You got to play that for Patsy," and he was like, "It's like midnight." He's like, "I'll go home and wake her up." And then they like, and Willie Nelson wouldn't get out of the car until, and then like they he went in, the husband went in, grabbed her, and he played it in the front yard.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. You ever pitch anybody that was asleep, Laura? Yeah, very good.
Not yet.
Yeah.
On this day in 1951, 18-year-old Richard Pennyman, who was already using the stage name Little Richard, made his first recordings for RCA Camden at the studios of Atlanta radio station WGST. So that's some rock and roll history right there.
Yeah. I just heard him on the I just heard some of his 90s music on the radio, which was the same as his 60s music, just recorded in that terrible 90s sort of blues.
I just never production. Knew that he took so long off, like to just become a preacher.
Oh, wow.
How long was it?
I'd have to do the research. I was just reading up on him not too long ago, but like, yeah, there was like, it was right kind of when rock and roll was getting going. I think he kind of just thought it was a bit too hedonistic and took a break and just went to preaching.
He took him to church.
Well, he also like was like one of the first and most visible people to get ripped off, because it's basically Jerry Lee Lewis stole Little Richard shit and then did that and became a huge. I can see getting
and
frustrated.
Pat Boone did it too.
Pat Boone did it. I didn't know that.
Didn't he? He made that really cheesy cover of.
Oh yeah. But I mean, like his whole like to Dan Cook et al. He basically stole his essence, like the crazy piano playing guy that was over the top, and
yeah,
I think took it a little far with marrying his cousin, but basically that was all Little Richard's shtick. And then this white guy came along and took it, and I'm sure that had to be part of it, where it's like, fuck man, I can't win. I develop my own thing, and then somebody else comes along, does the same thing, and gets huge, and yeah. I'm never gonna catch him because I'm a black dude.
I think I've told the story before, but that was one of my first celebrity sightings in Los Angeles, is seeing him roll up to the post office in a Rolls Royce, and he put his taxes in the mail, like mailed them. And I was like, what's up with that? And they're like, oh yeah, his manager ripped him off a bunch of times and just didn't pay his taxes, and he got screwed forever and ever, and then now he insists on doing it himself.
Nice.
Wow.
Born on this day in 1938, Krista Pafkin. Anyone know who that is? Nico.
Oh.
Nico
was born on 1938, October 16th.
Where? Was she German?
Yes, she was born in Köln, Germany. You ever play Köln?
Oh, is it? But you call it Cologne?
Yeah, you call it Cologne.
It's K-O-L-N is how they...
Yeah, it's Cologne.
Yeah, I don't know where we've played, but yes, I feel like we've been there maybe two or three times.
Did you get some serious Nico vibes?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Did you go out walking?
Yes, of course. One time I was driving and I was listening to Nico and I was like singing along, and I realized that was like the most comfortable way ever to sing. I was just like, oh, like I was doing like her voice. And then I was like, oh my God, my throat feels so comfortable. I was like, is this my range? I mean, my speaking voice is really low, but my singing voice is like really like pinched and high. And I feel like maybe I should sing like Nico. I'd have more longevity as a singer.
It's like hard to like
write my voice.
It's hard to like sing like Nico and not feel like you're making fun of her.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it is.
I've been out walking. Yeah.
I had to take articulation classes in college, and that was an exercise you had to do. You had to go, I am now speaking with an overly open throat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Huh. It was like to warm up your vocal cords. Yeah.
Yeah. Fred Turner, bass vocals of Bachman Turner Overdrive, has a birthday today. He was born in 1943. This one's for Cash. Bob Weir, born today, 1937. Bob Weir from the Grateful Dead.
We're not gonna discuss Bachman Turner Overdrive for a while.
BTO talks.
All right, just speed right by that.
Do you want to talk about Bachman Turner Overdrive?
I'm just surprised. I thought Bachman Turner Overdrive was like a reference to like a Canadian car or something like that. I didn't know it was Bachman and Turner. And is Overdrive, is that a guy or is that just like they were like, the two of us are tuning up.
They did it. You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, right?
I believe You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. And if the train's on time, you can get to work.
What? I don't think I know that song.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Taking Care of Business?
Yeah.
Taking care of business. TCB.
I just knew
TCB.
That's what you go with? That part of the song?
It's the beginning of the song. Yeah. And I always identify.
The train's on time. And California's got sunshine.
Yeah, that song's really known for its verse. Really good.
The thing about You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet was it was like they were just riffing lyrics in the studio. And I guess there's two brothers in the band, and one guy was just making fun of his brother's stutter.
Oh, no.
Baby, you
Oh, man.
That's so mean.
Have you have any of your mean comments about your band members ever made it into any of your songs, Lori?
No.
You ever make fun of any of their disabilities?
No, but I did put a stutter in one of my songs because I loved that, like The Cars, I feel like, have a stutter song. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You know, I always thought that was so fucking catchy. So I was writing a song that I wanted to sound like a Cars song, and so I just like made a stutter in the. The chorus. But yeah, Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, I feel like it happens so much that it seems like, now that I'm thinking about it, he is making fun of somebody, because like,
yeah.
here's something you're never gonna forget. It's like really over the top.
Yeah. It's like going to karaoke with Verbal from Usual Suspects.
Yeah. Was Roger Daltrey making fun of somebody from My Generation?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. If anyone's ever seen that clip of the Beatles on some it's an old television show they were doing, I think it was like a British television show, but Paul McCartney goes, now for this next song I want everyone to clap your hands, and then John Lennon this is me doing John Lennon, just so I want to make that clear. John Lennon goes like this, and then just starts to like do that. Cool. And he's like, and everyone's like
that,
yeah!
Trump and Brett, yeah.
And then he's like, and I'm going to need you to stomp your feet. And then John Lennon goes, like that. Like, and then just starts stomping his feet and clapping his hands.
It was a different era.
It was a different era, but I love it. Yeah. War is over if you want it, but making fun of the handicap, always eternal. This day in 1960, legendary punk icon Bob Mould was born on this day. Hugh Skerdew, Sugar, and of course, Bob Mould.
Yeah.
Also on this day, another punk icon, we referenced him earlier. It's Laura's dad, Flea. Michael Balzeri, Flea, was born on this day, 1962.
Back to the Future 2 and 3 star, Flea. Thank you very much.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. The Getaways, Flea. Get this.
Point Break, Flea. Anthony Kiedis.
That was Anthony. Yeah. So that was 1960 that Balmoda was born. 1962, Flea was born. In 1969, meaning that she is younger than these guys, Wendy Wilson from Wilson Phillips, daughter of Brian Wilson, was born on this day in 1969.
Oh.
It's weird to me to think that those guys are older than Wendy Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her career got started so early, though, right? Like, how old were they in Wilson Phillips?
They had to be in there like early 20s, like some of them were in their early 20s. I feel like maybe even one of them was a teen.
Oh, I thought they were like teens. Some of them were in their early 20s. I don't know.
And another one, this is the correct answer, Laura. That's why you heard the ding. That means you win the radio prize. There is no prize.
I'm just getting more fucking text from Lindsey Graham. I don't know how I got on these goddamn lists.
Neil gives a lot of money to Lindsey Graham's campaign. Yep. And he's still confused why they get a hold of him.
Hey, he thought
attention,
it was
Neil Mahoney, super donor.
Yeah.
He thought it was the Golden Grahams bear.
Yeah. I think it's because I'm making all these like anti-Mitch McConnell fucking viral videos, and then they just invaded my computer and stole everything.
And on this day in 1977, this one's also for Cash, Grateful Dead guitarist John Mayer was born in 1977.
He's not in the Grateful Dead. He's in the Dead. Okay.
The Dead and Company.
Nobody's grateful for him.
He's part of the company. He's just a company man.
Yeah, just a company man. He's a company man. Is that one of the songs?
That's a stutter song.
He and I are the same age. That's cool.
Nice. And
why don't you call him Kumail's stand-up partner? You can call him that.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That was the first time I heard Kumail. And in sad music news, Pierre Kesdy from Naked Raygun, bass player Naked Raygun, died recently, battle with cancer. Legendary band Naked Raygun. We're going to play a song of theirs, and we're going to come back. We'll wrap it up with Laura and more show when we get there. But here is Coldbringer from Naked Raygun. All right. Rest in peace. Great, legendary band and bass player. Very inspirational and very nice to a lot of people that we all enjoy. So, Laura, this is the end of the show. And it's not really
to put too fine a point on it. This is the end of the show.
Yeah. Is there anything you did put out like a song called When It Don't Come Easy that just was released the other day and was that recorded and made like during this quarantine?
Dave Hawes, who's a singer-songwriter, he is making a record of Patty Griffin songs and Patty from Dillinger Four, and so he asked me to sing on a Patty Griffin song, and so that was done like in between feedings in a very stressful part of like sleep training the baby. So I didn't really even think that I was going to be able to do it, but I somehow recorded all the vocals in like little increments of like 5 minutes of doing work. But yeah, got it done. Got it done. Sounds great.
And this is the second thing he's put out from that collection, I think. But he also, his cover of Double Whiskey Coke No Ice it's also like, that's one of my all-time favorite Dillinger Four songs, and it's even better. It's like, yeah. Just because their lyrics are so good, and it really is true kind of like working class anthems, just in that Midwest working class, just brutes that like read a ton and drink a lot and, lean socialist. Like, it's like, I love it.
Wait,
I love
wait,
it so much.
There's a band of Matt Dwyer's?
Essentially, yeah.
Local reference. I'm sorry, Laura.
Yeah. I do want to give a shout out to Matt Dwyer's podcast, Conversations with Matt Dwyer. Celebrated his 200th episode, where he had the guy from Little Wings interview him.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Real
fun, because Little Wings is great, and Matt's great. So go and check.
He's been getting
out.
Some amazing guests.
He has. So have we. I mean, Laura, did you have a good time?
Thank you. I had a wonderful time. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. But I do. I think I want to play. And we've played it on the show before. But I think I want to play your. Just because, in celebration of Cash's dad making, hot tubs for Neil Young, I think I want to play your guys' cover of Harvest Moon.
Oh,
which is very, very sweet and very amazing. But then, I really want people to check out Laura's stuff. It's just, Cash was just talking about it before you hopped on the call. He just recently went up. I moved up to Santa Cruz, and well, Cash, you were listening to stuff.
Last night we put on, I think two of your albums. I get off work at like 11, and we come back and we eat dinner on the porch, just staring at the stars, and it was the best. Like, it was so nice, so perfect for what was going on. We're laying there counting stars and listening to music, and it was awesome. So thank you very much for that stuff. Yeah, it's really nice. It's I've been playing them the last couple of days, and last night was just so perfect.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's real good. Neil, what about your story of listening to Laura's music? What's yours?
Didn't get a chance. That was a real...
That's fine.
Nailed it!
Well, I will say, going into work, it was all bomb the music industry because I needed to get amped up, and then coming home, it was all solo stuff, so...
That's good. It's good wind down music.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Thank you so much, Laura, for being on the show.
Of course.
Everyone should check out her music. And this is her and Jeff Rosenstock, friend of the show, doing Harvest Moon. And thanks for tuning into the show. Check out the music you like.
Thank you. getting late, and the moon is climbing high. I want to celebrate, see it shining in your eyes. Because I'm still in love with you, I want to see it dance again. Because I'm still in love with you. Oh,
I'm still